great to talk with Rog and talking tennis. And Rog, we've got a talk topic going here this morning, frustrating athletes. And the motivation and the inspiration has been provided by Nick Kyrgios. So, mate, we'll weigh into it straight away. In your time on the circuit and coaching and seeing players, is there one in particular that you thought, wow, what a talent, and hasn't really fully realised that potential? Good morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, gee, I'm chipping in off the bunker would be rough. And Greg did lead in those four majors, didn't he? One year in 86. That was pretty frustrating. Probably, you know, it was better than the two majors, obviously, that he had. Hey, there is, I think, in every sport, you take a look and, you know, there were people that said, if you just look in Australia, people said that about Mark Philippoussis, didn't they?
Yeah.
They said, oh, gee, what a waste of talent. But I've sort of, I don't know, I've taken a different view on it because it's, you know, sport's interesting. And Matty, I mean, you would know this. There's a big piece of the pie, and you've got to, you know, not everyone has every part of that pie. You know, they have a talent pool, but there might be some other area that they don't necessarily engage. Do they play sport, they love it for a while, then it becomes a bit of a business to them, and then that sort of tarnishes the way they feel about the sport, but they're super talented and they stay in there because they don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole lot of different things at play. We would all like, you know, I agree, we'd all like every athlete when we watch them with real super talent to go, come on, do you know what you've got at your disposal? Of course they know what they've got, but they don't necessarily, you know, it's not that. That's why the greats are the greats.
That's so true.
That's the bottom line. That's why the greats are the greats. Every single piece of sporting brilliance they tend to own and they actually engage in, and that's why they do what they do.
So what did you make of Kyrgios, the loss to Shardy last night?
Oh, look, it was obviously, you know, didn't get the 3 points that he had in the first round when he served 44 aces. Only served, I think, 14 aces. In fact, Shardy served 17. So you've got a player at the other end. He's got a big serve. He's got a big game as well. And so there was always going to be a tight tennis match. When you're talking tight tennis matches, you know, anything can happen from those situations. And I thought Shardy just stayed in the game very well. And when he got access to the points off Nick's serve, he actually made something happen. So, and that was generally the difference. If you look at how many points were played versus how many weren't played the day before, you know, it makes a little bit of a difference to what the game looks like. And yeah, it wasn't ideal, obviously, from Nick's side of the court. But you know, I think it's also a transition from the start of the year, moving in, playing some matches. This time last year, he looked pretty sharp. He also had a little bit of a niggle through the early stages of Brisbane, then went on and won Brisbane. So a little bit of a different entry going into the Australian Open now, but it gives him time to get on the court and try and sharpen up leading into Melbourne.
Comment after it when he said, you know, that you didn't defend those points and now you're dropping out of the top 50. I couldn't care less. Do we read too much into that?
Look, I don't think, you know, that's the nature of tennis. It's a 12-month cycle with the ranking. So, yeah, he had to defend 250 points. He didn't do that. I mean, you can pick, you know, he picks that up in, you know, when you're ranked where he is at the moment, I think about 31, 32 or something like, maybe a little bit lower than that. And then you lose 250 points. It's quite a dip in the ranking, but it also is quite easy to pick up again. I mean, he can do that. He could make the, you know, if he made the fourth round or he makes the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, he moves inside, but, you know, moves to about 25 in the world. So, they're a bit, you know, he can gain those points pretty quickly.
Right.
Does that then make his life more difficult though, Rog, going to the Australian Open because he's outside of that seeded placements?
Yeah, needed to try and win here, defend, and actually get a seed. So, I mean, so therefore he could play Novak first round, he could play Roger first round. So he's in the lap of the gods right now as far as the seedings go. Which is fine as well. It makes him a dangerous floater. You know, the seeded players would rather have Nick Kyrgios seeded.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not floating around because a night match at Melbourne Park against Nick is a dangerous prospect. So when you see some of these guys, you look at Andy Murray. He's obviously not moving too well. He's trying to recover from an injury. When you've got those guys that haven't played for a while, you know, Stanislas Wawrinka as well, who's coming back from injury. They're dangerous floaters in the draw, and you always have a look when you're a seeded player or, you know, your coach, you look, the draw comes out, you have a look at the floaters, and Nick's definitely one of them. So, yes, look, it's not ideal, but it's okay. He's, you know, the rankings look after themselves once you get the wins anyway, so it's not really, he's not dictated by the number near his name at the moment.
Just on that, you mentioned Andy Murray. I watched him, some highlights of a match that he played. I thought, oh my God, he's limping around everywhere. Did you get that sense, Rog?
Yeah, I feel awkward when I watch Andy at the moment. Ooh. In the sense that he had that labrum tear, had the surgery. You know, he's mentioned it. It's on the record that, you know, he's still got pain from it. I find that really strange that a year later you've still got the same pain from surgery. Normally you're relieved. So
yeah.
When I watch him play, his first movement off the pivot, he doesn't have that natural power where he can explode and then hold the court when he goes out wide to retrieve the ball. So with that in mind, you know what it does to your body, and the messaging from your mind, it just says, I can't chase the ball. I can't really deliver what I need to do. So it takes him out of his comfort zone. He's going to have an interesting look. I feel for him because I don't like what I'm looking at,
right,
as far as tennis careers go. And I'm hoping I don't see this, but you know, it's sometimes with these injuries, you don't actually get back.
And the sad part about that is when you look at someone like him, who's, risen to the top of the ranks, you can only judge him by what you see on the court at that particular time. So if he's falling apart, he's getting, you know, all you have to do is just kick the ball in play and make him run around. So it makes it hard.
It's pretty obvious when you play him. It's the most simplistic game plan. You need to spread him on the court.
Yeah.
Make him do some movement on the court. And that's what he's relied on as well. He's been a big, he's been one of the greats at actually negating people's ability to spread him and retrieve the ball well. So look, that's disappointing. That's disappointing for him. Disappointing for the game, I think, because you don't like great players going.
Moving
the game that way.
How good can Ash Barty go in 2019? How well can she go?
Well, the good thing is she plays very calmly in Australia, so that's the first part of it. She actually absorbs the Australian public, which is one of the hardest things to do. You know, a lot of people in their own country don't. You know, they feel like the pressures and expectations there. She can be a top 10 player. I don't see why top 10 isn't in her reach, you know, for sure. And the more matches she plays, the better players, you know, the constant consistent wins that she has against quality players, like she did yesterday as well.
Yeah.
That just says to her that why shouldn't I be a top 10 player? And I think she really believes it now.
Mm. Yeah, exactly right. Rog, also, we've got a few spies on the ground saying that you've been really working on the guns in preparation for Melbourne.
No, they're probably getting there. It's a bit like Nick. I need to play a few more matches.
Well played. The word coming through from one of your colleagues is that the grip that you have on the microphone is nothing short of intense, just to get that bicep more prominent on telly.
Well, it'll probably, if I get on there, I vary it a little bit depending on the conditions.
Correct.
The other one that needs a bit of time is Rafa. I mean, unfortunately, he pulled out. It's his second year in a row he's pulled out here. I'm moving this over to Rafa.
Love it.
It's a little bit disappointing, for the tournament, but here's an interesting tennis mind, because yes, he thinks he could play. Yes, he gave himself every chance. I mean, if he wasn't a person who could contend and win the Australian Open, he probably would have played this week, but got himself on the practice court day after day since arriving here. There's a slight strain in his thigh and his left thigh, but he said after doctors here and also his doctors in Spain said you could play, but it doesn't give you an opportunity to win in Melbourne. They don't think that he had to make the right call, and this isn't the case of someone coming over here, and he really gets down about letting people down. He let the fans down and he lets the tournament down. That's not what he's about, and he really takes that to heart when this sort of stuff has to happen. But in saying that, his last 13 hard court tennis matches that he's played, he's only been able to complete one. So it might say a little bit about over the last, you know, 12, 13 months. So it might say a little bit about what's happening when he gets on the hard court.
The surface,
that's interesting. Hey, quickly for the listeners, mate, can you find a winner for us? Shardy up against Uchiyama, Dimitrov, Nishikori, Medvedev up against Raonic.
I'll go Shardy.
Okay.
and I'm going to lean with Medvedev.
Okay, he's the outsider to Raonic.
He's a bit of an outsider. He's your outsider. And what's the Dimitrov Nishikori?
$2.30 Nishikori $1.60.
Oh, Nishikori $1.60.
Yes.
I'm going to lean there as well. But that's going to be a really entertaining tennis match to watch.
Okay. Shardy $1.48 into Nishikori $1.60 into the outsider Medvedev at $2.10. Good on you, mate. We'll speak again.
See you, boys.